Shopify's already taken the cash register online, helping millions sell billions around the world. But did you know that Shopify can do the same thing at your retail store? Give your point of sale system a serious upgrade with Shopify. That's right, Shopify is the sound of selling everywhere. Online, in-store, on social media, and beyond. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. With Shopify POS, you can accept credit cards, mobile payments, and every other major payment method, all with low fees and transparent pricing, starting on day one. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/MLB podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/MLB podcast to take your retail business to the next level today. Shopify.com/MLB podcast.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome to the Fantasy Baseball Today podcast from CBS Sports.
Oh, and first pitch, rushing! Deep left field! This is what it is! Welcome on!
Got a fantasy question? Email fantasybaseball@cbsi.com. Get ready to win your league.
Where fantasy becomes reality.
Now here's Frank, Scott, and Chris.
It's time for our 12-team head-to-head points listener league draft. Welcome into Fantasy Baseball Today. Frank Sample joined by Scott White and Chris Towers. Today will be a two-part podcast that will cover the entire draft and then recap our teams in part two of today's podcast. Before we get started, make sure to like this video and subscribe if you haven't already. And if you're listening on the audio side, please download, follow, and leave a five-star review. We really do appreciate it. If you missed any of our recent content, make sure to go back and listen on demand. We broke down all of the Jose Altuve and Vaughn Grissom news on the latest podcast. Well, Scotty, thank your lucky stars because you have the first overall pick in tonight's draft.
Yeah, so that makes two drafts in a row that we've recorded here where I have the number one overall pick.
Must be nice.
Yeah. Well, I don't know whether to thank you or curse you for this, because if you'll remember the way that mock went, I took Judge number one, and Arenado didn't make it back to me in round two, and I was tilting the whole draft because I couldn't get a third baseman at a reasonable price. And considering this group is, you know, comprised of people who hang on our every word, who've been hearing me hammer home the point that you can't skimp on third base early, I think the chances of Arenado making it back to me are virtually zero in round two. And I gave some thought to taking Jose Ramirez because of that, but no, I'm not. I'm going to take Judge, and we'll see. We'll see what happens at third base. Maybe I'll pull out a surprise. You never know. Never know with me.
Chris, every podcast we do is fun, obviously, but I think tonight will be extra special because we've got the WBC game going on, USA versus Japan. It's the final. USA is down right now. And you and I are donning the red orange of the Miami Marlins. Let's go.
305 in the house. What's up? So I'm MIA just stand up.
You have different generation shirts. They're orange, but they're the different.
Oh, no, mine is red.
Frank's is like bright red. Frank's, I don't know red. Why they look so similar on screen. But
okay,
yeah.
So you have the second generation Marlins font there, Chris, and Frank has third generation.
Yes, yeah, so I've got the ugliest one possible.
Grab my first generation Marlins hat, and we'd really be representing. But alas, I did not.
And we begged Scott to do it, and he just wouldn't do it. He true story. He said his hair looked really good, so he didn't want to mess it up. Let's actually preview tonight's draft. This is the listener league that we chose the submissions for last Friday. So it's a 12-team league, randomized the draft order. Scott will be drafting first overall. Chris is seventh, and I will be picking eighth. So back-to-back picks, hopefully some fireworks between Chris and myself. Standard CBS head-to-head points lineups, one of each infield position, three outfielders, one utility bat, no corner or middle infielder. We've got five starting pitchers and two relief pitchers, five bench spots. So it is a shallower league than I think most people might be used to. And I won't go through the entire point system, but hitters lose half a point for strikeouts, so plate discipline matters a lot in this format. Pitchers earn 3 points per inning pitched, and 7 points for a win, 7 points for a save, 3 points for a quality start, and -5 for a loss. I would say that we've previewed this thing enough, Scotty. Let's get it started. You are on the clock with the first overall pick.
Yeah, and as I already explained, I'm going to take Judge. But get ready for a lot of tilting from all of us in this particular draft, because as I said, the recent history of the podcast league is that the listeners just take all our favorite players like three rounds before we're used to seeing them go. And so we have to, it ends up being an uncomfortable draft for us because our teams are unfamiliar to us. And I'm going to try and just roll with it, do what I did in the Tout Wars draft and just take the value that comes to me, not obsess over getting my guys. But that's easier said than done. I'm happy to start with Judge, who in this format, like every other, was far and away the best player last year. I think in points leagues, it's even clearer that he's number one, though, because obviously you don't have to sell out for stolen bases the same way you do in a roto league.
All right, so Scott takes Aaron Judge, and unsurprisingly, if he were completely healthy, I would agree with this Juan Soto pick, but the latest news that we have is that he is going for an MRI. That doesn't sound too good. MRI on this oblique injury. You know, I was wondering if he fell to me at 7 or 8. Well, you at 7, Chris, or me at 8. I don't know. I might have passed just because I don't really know what's going on with Juan Soto right now. Chris, what are you thinking with him?
Yeah, no, that's fair. I think the concern at this point, it's not that it's like a serious injury that's going to cost him a month to start the season, but just that like there's going to be pressure with the season starting in what, 8 days to 9 days to push through any kind of issue. And that's a little worrisome just because it is an oblique, even if it's a minor one, it's the kind of injury that like you need to get completely past in order to really have a chance. Otherwise, you know, you run the risk of a setback at all times with that injury.
All right. Well, Terry Gensler, who made the pick of Juan Soto second overall, says in the chat, Kevin Acey, who covers the Padres, says the team does not seem concerned. We'll see what happens with Juan Soto. The latest picks, Jose Ramirez went third overall. Mookie Betts went fourth. Mike Trout, fifth overall. All right. So maybe a little WBC bump there for Mike Trout. Then Julio Rodriguez, and Chris, you select Ronald Acuna.
And I who is my number one player in Roto. He's my number four player in this format. I think he's a great pick there. I think he's gotten kind of a rep for being a better Roto player than a head-to-head points league player. And that might be true, but you know, Ronald Acuna in 2020, which was a shortened season, he walked like 18% of the time. I think the following season it was still in like the 12 to 13% range. So if he's right, like if I'm right about Ronald Acuna being the best player in Roto, he's probably going to be close to one of the best players in head-to-head points as well. Yeah, 14% of the time in 2021. It fell to 10% in 2022, which is still very good. So I'm happy to get Ronald Acuna in pretty much any format.
Yeah, and I don't want to dump on Mike Trout at fifth overall because this is his superior format, again, where you don't have to worry about stolen bases. Of course, he's typically been an excellent plate discipline guy. Even last year when his plate discipline was down a bit, Trout had the fourth highest point per game average at this position last year, 3.64 versus Julio Rodriguez was at 3.31. I still take Julio Rodriguez over Trout in this format, but not by much.
All right, so Chris took Ronald Acuna. I was on the clock and I was debating Trey Turner or Kyle Tucker. We talk about this a lot. When you're faced with the decision of taking Trey Turner in the first round, means you've probably got to pass up on some really awesome shortstops later on in the draft. But man, I mean, he's looked so good in spring training, in the WBC. We know he's a fantastic player regardless, but I think eighth overall, even in a points league, even being shortstop,
got to end the skid there. So I take Trey Turner at 8. And then at number 9, we see Kyle Tucker. And 10th overall, we see Manny Machado. We are coming up on the turn here. And Kyle's team name is the Church of Scott White. So I
was just thinking, we haven't seen a pitcher yet go first round of a points league. But I'm pretty sure someone whose name is Church of Scott White is not taking a pitcher. He does take Freddie Freeman, which is not something I've, you know, so he didn't take an outfielder. He didn't take a third baseman. We'll get a third baseman on. I'm predicting Church of Scott White guy will get a third baseman on the way back in round 2. Freddie Freeman, of course, a great head-to-head points player, even if he doesn't fill a weak position.
Scott, stop trying to speak these picks into existence because maybe I want a third baseman. Come on, man.
I know our listeners, and I know what we've said. So,
and that's one thing to keep in mind with this league that we're about to draft in particular. You know, it's something we talk about a lot, but we're about at that point where you can kind of throw ADP out the window. You know, people are going to go get their guys, and especially in a league like this, you know, with people who listen to the podcast, people who are diehards for fantasy baseball, they're probably going to go get their guys. You know, we're going to see some picks that aren't going to line up with the rankings or the ADP necessarily, and that's fine.
Finishing up round 1, we saw Freddie Freeman at 11, Yordan Alvarez at 12, Rafael Devers with the first pick of round 2. Chris, if Yordan Alvarez was completely healthy and we didn't have any questions, I mean, I doubt he would have even made it to either of us, but did you have any consideration of taking Yordan Alvarez?
Yeah, I think I would have taken him if Ronald Acuna and Trey Turner weren't there, but both of them were there, so I have them ranked ahead of Yordan Alvarez. But he is still 6th for me in points, just because I do think, like, yes, I have the concerns about health with him and Juan Soto, but I do think there's a gap between those two guys and Julio Rodriguez and Kyle Tucker, who are the next up in a points league.
Well, look what you did, Scott. You spoke it into existence. You said that the Church of Scott White will likely take a third baseman. And that's exactly what happened. So it looks like I will not be getting one of those elite names, and I won't be getting Nolan Arenado either. So the next couple of picks in round 2 after Devers, Austin Riley, Sandy Alcantara, first starting pitcher off the board. This is a head-to-head points league. You get points for innings pitched. So I think Sandy Alcantara is the odds-on favorite to lead baseball in innings once again. And then Nolan Arenado goes 16th overall. The team name is Lenarz' Newt Bars. So maybe a Cardinals fan. That's what I'm wondering here. I could be the second team to take a starting pitcher. This is a head-to-head points league. First base is really deep, but I don't think I could let him go. So I'm going to go ahead and take Vladimir Guerrero. I'll start my team with, you know, two of the deepest positions at shortstop and Vladimir Guerrero, but I think both were just great values where I'm getting them. So to get Trey Turner at 8 and then Vladimir Guerrero at 17, I love starting my team with those two picks in a head-to-head points league. And Chris, you are on the clock.
And you know who it's going to be.
I know exactly. Yes. Once I didn't take him, I knew exactly
who you were
taking.
It's the guy I take in the second round every time, no matter where I'm picking in the second round, if he's there. Right. It's Fernando Tatis. I will have to find a shortstop replacement for the first 20 days of the season. But after that, it's all systems go, baby. He's going to have an awesome season.
All right, so no surprises with Chris taking Fernando Tatis at 18 overall. Again, there's only been one starting pitcher taken, and that was Sandy Alcantara. Scott, what are your latest thoughts on Yordan Alvarez? It sounds like he could play in a game this upcoming weekend. And do you think he should have went earlier than 12 overall in this format?
I'm not sure exactly where I have him ranked. This I actually do have, like, Sandy Alcantara in round 1, as much as I'm not in favor of taking a starting pitcher this year. So it's possible. Let me get my rankings up. Like, Alvarez is better in this form. Basically, any early round pick who isn't a big base stealer is probably going to be more valuable in this format than standard 5x5. So I know I'd take Alvarez earlier than 12th and 5x5. I'd probably take him earlier in this format too. He is one of the three outfielders who averaged more points per game last year than Mike Trout. In fact, he was second only to Aaron Judge, a distant second, because everybody was a distant second, but Alvarez was the second best outfielder on a per game basis in this format last year. Oh, geez. Look what just happened.
Whoa.
I was thinking of doing that myself.
Oh,
I was going to do it.
Well, let's talk about what's actually happening, because after Chris took Fernando Tatis, Bobby Witt Jr. goes off the board, maybe a little bit early in a head-to-head points league. But if you want to prevent Scott from getting a third baseman, then you got to do it there. Gerrit Cole goes 20th overall. Alex Bregman, 21st overall in the second round. There's no doubt that it's early, but this is his best format. I mean, Bregman, more walks than strikeouts last year. He plays a ton of games. He's in a great lineup. The counting stats should be really good again. And Scott said he was considering it, so it's not crazy.
Well, I was thinking, okay, maybe Shohei Ohtani's going to make it to me just because he's utility only.
No, don't do it. Terry, take Shohei Ohtani so Scott can't get him.
No, he could take him. That's fine. But Ohtani averaged 3.18 points per game as a hitter last year in this format. Bregman was 3.19. He was actually better. So why am I going to mess around at third base and risk getting a total scrub there? He doesn't take Ohtani.
Now you got yourself a little bit of a decision point here, Scotty. Scott is on the clock.
It's not that tough of a decision, right? It's Shohei Ohtani. You take him.
It shouldn't be, but this is probably his worst format. Head-to-head points league where the steals don't matter. And you can't reap all of his benefits. You either have to choose to use him as a utility bat or a starting pitcher each week.
And you're almost certainly going to use him as a hitter, because there might be an occasion or two where he gets two starts, because it sounds like they're going to go with what they did down the stretch last year where they use a six-man rotation, but he's going to pitch every sixth day. You know, if there's an off day, he's still going to stay on schedule from what I understand. So, like, he'll have a couple of two-start weeks, but for the most part, he's a hitter here.
Yeah, and I am going to take him with that plan. But because this is a league where we only start nine hitters, there's only that one utility spot, having the ability to shift him at starting pitcher if I wind up with a hitting surplus is a nice luxury, even if it's not the ideal place to use him. And I am going to pair him with Paul Goldschmidt, who was the best first baseman in terms of head-to-head points per game last year. Hopefully he'll follow up on that this year. 3.79 points per game for him, 3.72 for Freddie Freeman, and third place was Pete Alonso, 3.49, quite a bit of a ways back.
All right, so Scott winds up with Shohei Ohtani with the last pick of round two. Paul Goldschmidt, first pick of round three. Again, Aaron Nola went 23rd overall, the 11th pick of round two. And we're going to keep things moving here.
Speaking of, by the way, for the live audience, I don't want to tell you to not watch our stream. Shohei Ohtani is apparently about to pitch in the World Baseball Classic in the next inning, so...
Gosh, and USA has their work cut out for them. They're down 3-1, and now you're going to have to face one of the toughest pitchers on the planet in Ohtani. So, I don't know. It's kind of a tough spot. It's fun having these things go at the same time. If we just start freaking out at some point, it's either because of a pick or something crazy going on in this WBC game.
By the way, it was fairly amazing that Corbin Burnes made it to the 22nd pick of a head-to-head points draft. I think that's the sort of thing that would only happen in a listener's league like this. Like, he's probably a first rounder in most points leagues.
Yeah, it seems like a good number of these players in this league, Scott, are part of the Church of Scott White, waiting on starting pitching.
Although the exception, Framber Valdez just went 26th overall. Not the same team that just took Corbin Burnes. They took Aaron Nola, but you know, that kind of sounds like a reach. I mean, it definitely sounds like a reach. His ADP is much later than that. Framber Valdez had 43 more fantasy points last season than Aaron Nola. Like, he was actually excellent in this game, in this league, because you get bonuses for quality starts, and he had 27 of them last year.
Somebody had to be second to Sandy Alcantara in innings and complete games, and that somebody in both of those categories was Framber Valdez.
So I think Framber Valdez actually outscored Corbin Burnes in this format by a half a point, but still outscored him.
Yeah. So it was a It was somebody who clearly is paying close attention to the scoring format and, you know, singling out Framber Valdez as a specialist for it, which is fine. I mean, that's going to happen sometimes. I wouldn't take him over Justin Verlander, who now goes two picks later. I want to take him over Max Scherzer or Brandon Woodruff, but it's...
But if he outscores those guys, I wouldn't be surprised.
Right, exactly.
After...
I mean, that's part of the reason why I don't want to invest in a true ace is because you get enough of these like Framber Valdez types who can close the gap more than you think.
All right. Well, I've got to ask the chat a little question here and see what's going on because the reason is Pete Alonso went at 27th overall, Justin Verlander, Jacob DeGrom, and then at 30th overall, Dustin May. I don't know if that is so.
Go get your guys, Chris said. Go get him.
I mean, I know Chris likes him, but you didn't have to worry about him taking him in round three or four. All right. Well, did mean that pick. Chris, you're on the clock, and you won't be getting Dustin May this draft. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's unfortunate. That would have been a good one. Yeah. 10 rounds from now. Get your guys. Yeah, I'm going to go. I would prefer to have Bo Bichette to Marcus Semien. I have him ranked higher. Semien has actually been better each of the past two seasons in this format for what it's worth. But because I already have Fernando Tatis, he's shortstop eligible. I may end up using him in the outfield, but I don't want to, double up on a position that early. So I do take Marcus Semien, who, you know, this team could get off to a slow start between Marcus Semien's, you know, possibly likely struggles in April as a result of the dead and ball and the humidor and all that stuff we saw last year. And, no Fernando Tatis until April 20th. So, yeah, we'll see what happens.
Well, thank you, Chris, because I am ecstatic to get Max Scherzer at the end of the third round. I thought you might have taken him because I know you like the old Metsies up there, Max Scherzer and Justin Verlander. So I know typically wait a little bit longer on pitching, but head-to-head points league, I still want at least one ace on my team and see what happens here with the next pick. I was going to think about taking Spencer Strider because he does have relief pitcher eligibility in this format, so he's kind of a cheat code. He is far and away the best sparp. We talk about that often. That's a starting pitcher as relief pitcher, and it is a cheat code in a head-to-head points league if you play on CBS because you can use Spencer Strider as a relief pitcher.
I was thinking about him at the turn. If Terrence Gensler before my pick, if he had taken Ohtani, I might have gone with Goldschmidt and Strider there instead of Ohtani and Goldschmidt.
Okay, well, would you have taken Strider over Scherzer, Scott? Because I thought about it, but...
Yeah, I would have.
Yeah.
Just for team-building purposes. I know I don't rank... Well, I moved Scherzer down a little bit.
Why is that? Is there any specific reason?
I do have Scherzer technically one spot ahead of Strider in my rankings. Just kind of gaming my rankings a little bit. You know, I talked throughout the offseason and early in draft prep. Oh, I have Justin Verlander and Max Scherzer 1 and 2. And I kind of wanted to hold to it on principle, but like a number of starting pitchers go off the board before you need to consider taking Verlander and Scherzer. And so I didn't want to see them overdrafted at my behest because of where I put them in my rankings, if that makes sense. So it has nothing to do with Scherzer himself. It's just thinking strategically through my rankings.
All right, after Spencer Strider went, Bo Bichette at 34th overall, and Zach Wheeler. I know we've heard some good things about Bo Bichette this spring. A lot of his teammates talking about how great he looks and how he could get back on track this year. No doubt it was a letdown season for Bo Bichette last year, but had a huge September, and hopefully that's something that can carry over into this upcoming season.
Yeah, that's a great pick. Getting Bo Bichette at 34 is awesome. I like I said, I considered him at 31, so the fact that he fell a couple more spots, that worked out really well for, who was that? Team Peanut Butter Jelly Time.
With the final pick of round three, you know who it is.
Here comes the money.
Here we go. Money talks.
Here comes the money.
Shane McClanahan, who for most of the offseason I was pretty worried about with the shoulder injury. He's looked good in the spring. The velocity has been fine. So, you know, I'm feeling a little bit better. I still haven't drafted him anywhere. So I've got, I think after today, four more drafts left. We'll see if I can wind up with one share of Shane McClanahan. The confidence is growing there. Then the first pick of round four. I think in a head-to-head points league, I don't really have a problem with this. It's Corey Seager going 37th overall. Scott Francisco Lindor still on the board. What do you think about Seager versus Lindor in this format?
Yeah, I think it's closer than a lot of people would think it is. I do have Lindor one spot ahead of Seager, but it's the kind of situation where I would probably pass up Lindor and hope Seager makes it back to me. I don't think I wouldn't just take Seager ahead of Lindor because I rank Lindor ahead, but it's close enough that I don't have a big problem with it.
Okay, Luis Robert with the next pick at 38th overall. I am up in two picks and got to take a break eventually. I got to do a promo read here too, but I don't want to get caught in the middle of my read while I'm making a draft pick. So we'll just talk it through and until these picks are made.
How about this one? I'm considering with my next pick someone that I haven't taken yet this spring.
Wow.
Can you guys, I want to know if you guys can guess who it is.
I don't think I can guess who it is. I haven't been to all of your drafts, Chris.
I'm starting to get a little FOMO on this guy based on what we've seen in the spring.
Okay. All right.
I'm kind of upset because
I'm not sure if he's going to still be there.
Maximilian Fried.
My queue just got wiped out here. I was looking at Woodruff and Schwarber. They both went the picks before me. Now I'm on the clock. I'm actually pretty happy that I took Max Scherzer there because if I didn't get one of him or Woodruff, I would have been pretty upset. I've got 30 seconds left. I could use an outfielder. And one of Chris's favorite players is still there. He's very good in this format. Thinking about taking him. Looking at a few other positions, and I think I am going to go that route. I'm going to go ahead and take George Springer here at 41st overall. Really good plate discipline, typically leading off for the Blue Jays, should get a ton of plate appearances. And with that, we're going to take a quick break, and when we return, we'll find out who Chris was talking about here on Fantasy Baseball Today.
New CBS Monday.
Federal agents!
Hands where we can see them!
NCIS Hawaii is back.
About to set it up!
New criminals to catch.
Armed robbery, aggravated assault, murder.
And new investigations to be solved.
These guys were good, but even masters make mistakes.
Vanessa Lachey and featuring LL Cool J.
Violin Island, you got it.
Welcome to paradise.
A new NCIS Hawaii, Monday, 10, 9 central on CBS and streaming on Paramount+.
From the world of Sonic the Hedgehog, a new hero arrives.
I am
ready. Is there anyone stronger?
No.
Tougher?
No.
Funnier?
I do not make jokes. I make warriors.
Knuckles, April 26th on Paramount Plus.
Yes!
Thursday at 7:15 Eastern on CBS, we head to the Sweet 16 at the NCAA Men's College Basketball Championship, beginning with Arkansas taking on UConn, followed by a huge showdown between UCLA and Gonzaga. Then on Friday night, Miami faces top-seeded Houston and Xavier meets Texas. Our coverage continues with two more games on Sunday at 2 Eastern, with the winners punching their ticket to the Final Four. March Madness continues this week on CBS. And Chris, the player you were referencing is blank.
Matt Olson, who has just been absolutely crushing the ball this spring, which, look, Matt Olson goes through stretches where he absolutely crushes the ball. He's got, what, 5 home runs in spring, like a 1,400 OPS or something. He's been absolutely ridiculous. He's not someone that I've drafted. I typically wait a little longer at first base. But I decided, you know, like I said, a little bit of FOMO here about, you know, what if we do get the big Matt Olson bounce back? You know, he only had 477 points in this format, 564 in 2021. Guys often perform better the second season that they're in a new league. So gonna take that opportunity to get Matt Olson on one of my squads this year.
I don't want to overreact to spring training numbers, especially for a veteran like this, Chris, but I am starting to feel the same thing on Matt Olson. It's, you could just talk yourself into, okay, it was his first year in Atlanta. He's filling the shoes of a legend on that team and Freddie Freeman. Uh-huh. He was still pretty good last year, but you know, I think for most standards, it was a bit of a down year for Matt Olson. Yeah. He's looked fantastic this spring. So just wouldn't surprise me if, you know, he hits 40 plus homers this year, some massive counting stats. And he does walk a lot, which matters in this format. After, yep. Go ahead, Chris.
Oh, no, that was it. Although, before we move on.
Yes.
Watch TBS Sports HQ at 3 p.m. on Wednesday afternoon.
Yes.
You'll see these three beautiful faces. Yes. A little Fantasy Baseball Today draft special.
Yes. You see, you're a better host than I am, Chris, because I probably should have mentioned that sooner. After Chris took Matt Olson, Francisco Lindor, Max Fried, Ozzie Albies, Michael Harris, Alec Manoah, Chris, Scott, you're on the clock with 5 seconds left.
Yep. Okay, so I mean, I was thinking about Albies, obviously, in the end of round four. Yeah, I like filling second base with one of those high-end second basemen. He's gone. Michael Harris was still hanging around for a long time, but he went 2 picks before mine. So I'm looking at my situation now. Francisco Lindor's gone. I'm going to have a second-tier shortstop. I'm going to have a lower-tier second baseman. I'm going to have issues at third base. I'm going to go ahead and take JT Realmuto. I don't like taking the top catcher in a one catcher league because I find Sean Murphy and William Contreras, the value tends to be great. But Realmuto in this scoring format is going to give me a clear advantage, I think. I mean, Adley Rutschman could close the gap potentially, but I think he's going to give me a clear advantage at this position. And since I'm not going to have advantage at other positions, that's fine. I'll go ahead and accept it. Realmuto at the end of round four. And then my second pick, ooh, like Chris, a bit of a FOMO pick here.
Love it.
Corbin Carroll, who I was just writing him up in Breakouts 2.0, like an assistant principal writing him up. And
he knows what he did.
He does. What he did was draw 9 walks compared to 6 strikeouts so far this spring. Like, just reminding me of the incredible plate discipline he has. And like, I think everybody's counting on him for 30-plus steals. This format, he might actually be a safer bet to contribute big numbers because the most questionable part of Corbin Carroll's skill set is the power, the home run power. However he falls short in home runs, he's going to make up for it with doubles and triples. Those don't have direct value in a 5x5 league, but they, of course, do in a points league. So I think a little bit of a reach here at 49th overall, but glad to fill a weak position, which is something I haven't been able to do a lot of early in this draft. And I think Carroll's going to live up to it when all said and done.
Yeah, I love the pick too, Scott. Once I scroll down a little bit, I want to move him higher in the rankings, but it's tough. I mean, there's a lot of players that I do like a little bit more than him in a head-to-head points league. But yeah, I think that's a fine place to take him. And I noticed on Tuesday that he was batting 6th in the lineup, and that was against the lefty. So maybe that's something that they're experimenting with. You know, he'll lead off against righties, maybe drop down a little bit against left-handed pitching. But either way, Corbin Carroll is going to be an everyday player for the Arizona Diamondbacks. After Scott took him, Wander Franco goes off the board. It's a touch early, but he is really good in this format. He just barely strikes out, so it's it really, really helps in a points league. Jazz Chisholm at 51 overall. I actually debated taking him over George Springer, and that was a really tough call for me. Second base, let's be honest. I mean, the past couple days, we've got a lot of news that it has kind of shaken up the position with Jose Altuve getting hurt and Vaughn Grissom optioned down to AAA. So I thought about it, but I think that's really good value for Jazz at 51st. Julio Urias, Dylan Cease, Cedric Mullins, Shane Bieber, and Chris, you are not on the clock because you were the one who took Shane Bieber. Talk to me about it.
Yeah, he's a really good option in this format. You know, the volume's going to be there, 200 innings. Two of the last 4 seasons, obviously, one of those seasons he got hurt. The other one, did he lead the majors in innings in 2020? If not, he was very close, you know, averaged more than 6 innings, probably about 6.5 innings per start in 2020. So
I believe it was Lance Lynn who led that year.
Okay, yeah. As long as the shoulder holds up, and it did last season, I do think Shane Bieber, you know, he's someone we talked about, I think on yesterday's podcast, is someone we haven't talked much about. I think there's some risk there, but at this point, I think he's a great pick.
All right. Well, one pick after you take Kevin Gausman. You took Shane Bieber. I took Kevin Gausman. A little bit of foreshadowing there. He is my SP2 to go along with Max Scherzer, and then Christian Javier
goes. I'm a little annoyed by that, Frank.
Why?
Because I had just put Kevin Gausman in my queue as my next pick. Clearly, he wasn't making it to me since you had 2 picks there. Yeah, good pick.
I was debating him and Luis Castillo. You know, I kind of like them in that, you know, 15 to 20 starting pitcher range. Mm-hmm. Though Christian Javier, I mean, he goes with the very next pick, and it's hard to argue it. He's gained a lot of steam throughout spring training, and just, I think, people realizing how good he was last year, and the fact that he probably shouldn't go two rounds later than someone like Spencer Strider. I don't know that their skill sets are that different. Strider's better, but two rounds better? I'm not so sure.
And he does have the RP eligibility would help, yeah, which helps Strider as well.
Yes, yes.
That is the reason he went two rounds ahead of Javier, I would say.
But I think we see that in a lot of drafts, Scott.
Well, that, yeah, I mean, I guess ADP does show a distinction there.
Yeah.
But Javier has been on the rise.
After Christian Javier, Brian Reynolds goes at pick 58, Luis Castillo to pick 59. We're at the turn here, round 5 and round 6. And the reason I took Gausman there, Chris, is there was no hitter that I loved necessarily. Mm-hmm. There, you know, there's some pitchers that hitters that I like, and see who makes it back to me here. But I was like, all right, look, it's still a points league. Could get Gausman as my SP2 to go with Scherzer. I like my first three hitters a lot for this format. You know, Trey Turner, Vlad, and George Springer. So just kind of wait and gobble up some pitching and see who falls. And that was one of the hitters that I was thinking about taking. It's Eloy Jimenez, last pick of round 5, who we got some news on Tuesday. I know he left a game on Monday with right calf cramping, but it sounds like he'll be in the lineup Wednesday, and the White Sox are not worried about it. You know, maybe just DH the guy, and this won't happen if he's not playing.
Apparently, it actually was an issue in the dugout, and then he got pulled once he went back out. He tried to, I guess, play through. It was what I saw. So That's a nothing injury, I think. I think, you know, obviously whenever Eloy Jimenez and left a game is, you know, we're going to be concerned about that, but it seems like there's nothing there.
All right. Well, maybe I should have taken him then, because some of these pitchers available are still pretty good. Probably would have been fine with one of these guys. Maybe I'm lying.
Yeah, a drop-off's approaching, I think, at starting pitcher.
Scott, you haven't taken a pitcher yet, have you?
I have not.
Oh, all right. So
by design, I mean, obviously I could have taken a really good one in place of Corbin Carroll. And that's, you know, I was saying 49th, a bit of a reach. What justifies that reach for me is that I am willing to go the thrifty route at starting pitcher. And that's why I can't move Corbin Carroll up much higher in my rankings, is because I don't want to make them so exaggerated that nobody else is going to follow them, you know?
Well, you've got Shohei Ohtani, Scott, so you could just play him at starting.
Well, pitcher. You know, I was thinking, so Vinny Pasquantino here goes with the first pick of round 6.
Wait.
I was thinking.
Who, Scott?
Vinny P, baby. First pick of round 6, and I was thinking if he lasted to the end of round 6, that might have been something I considered. You know, I already have Goldschmidt. I have Ohtani occupying the utility spot, but I might have considered taking Vinny Pasquantino and just shifting Ohtani to SP, and I don't know, maybe working out a trade down the line if Pasquantino proves he deserves to be a starting caliber first baseman in this format. But this would be his better format as a guy who he walked more than he struck out as a rookie, right? Mm-hmm. He actually had more walks than strikeouts, which is to go along, of course, with the power production we expect him to have.
All right, well, another one of those starting pitchers went. It was Yu Darvish with the second pick of round 6. So, all right, I'm actually, I think it worked out that I took Kevin Gausman there, because there's one other pitcher here, and will I say his name? Yeah, sure, why not? It's Zach Gallen. I think he's kind of the end of a tier, but I wrote him up in Bust 1.0. I don't think he's going to bottom out. I just think maybe he's a little bit like a touch overvalued. He was so good in the second half, but he had a 230 BABIP last year. I just can't see that sustaining as great as he was. And yeah, I think mm-hmm. he's a solid pitcher, but I just don't know that he's going to come close to replicating something like that.
Zach Gallen has been someone throughout his career that has had really low BABIPs. I think he's at like 270-ish for his career. So that's something that he does appear to have some skills basis in. Although I do think, you know, there was a clear better pitcher available who just went off the board, Yu Darvish, who actually also outscored Corbin Burns last season, which is pretty impressive. I think I might have that right.
He threw a ton of quality starts last year. So yeah, in any league with quality starts as a bonus or a category, I think Yu Darvish could see a little bit of a boost there. Byron Buxton goes, Randy Arozarena So I was thinking about Randy. I mean, a Roto League is a much better format for him. Same thing with Adolis Garcia. So I don't really want to do that. I'm going to go the same route as Scott. And I just think this is really good value for a catcher that I don't typically wind up with. There's just not really anybody that I love taking here. So it's going to be Will Smith for me. And at 65 in a head-to-head points league, he's got good plate discipline. He walks. He doesn't strike out very much. I'm fine with that pick. And Chris, you are on the clock. Let's take a look at your team and see what you got going on over here.
I don't necessarily love the options available right now. I think there's definitely been a drop off at this point in the draft. I'm unclear as to where I want to go right now. I'm going to think it through. Please, somebody else start talking.
I'm going to run through your team so far, and you've got Matt Olson at first base, Marcus Semien at second, Fernando Tatis at short, Ronald Acuna in the outfield, and Shane Bieber as your SP1. I actually think that this group, and you should be very proud of yourselves, they're doing a good job. They're you know, sucking all the value out of the players that we like, and that's why we're kind of in this position where, okay, there's not really any player that we love at this spot, and that's why I think maybe we're going to wind up with some kind of different teams that we don't normally wind up drafting here. And with that being said, Chris, you took Emmanuel Clase. Normally, closers go a little bit later in a points league format, but even with that, he is the best closer available, and you just got him in round six.
Yeah, he's, I think, the clear second best RP in this format. And honestly, he might be better than Spencer Strider just because Spencer Strider, you know, it might be tough for him to give us 170 or 180 innings. Class A, obviously, I don't think he's going to get 42 saves again, but he was 486 points in this format. You know, even if you take five saves off of that, I think he's going to be a very big contributor. And we're at the point now where, like, I think there are tiers, right? Like, your first round players are like 600 point players. Then you got a bunch of 500 point players. We're kind of running out of 500 point players at both the hitting and pitching side. So I think, you know, Class A could get close enough to that, yeah, I'm okay with getting him there.
After Emmanuel Clase goes off the board, Brandon Lau at 67th overall. There's no doubt that that is early for Brandon Lau, but
it's got the upside for it.
Chris, I'll come back to you because, Scott, I know you're about to make your picks. I think this could be part of the injury and the news shakeout for second base is that maybe some other players will get pulled off the board, and that's why we see Brandon Lau in the sixth round.
Yeah, I mean, you could. I think we're still a little far away from the point where you'd want to take Jose Altuve. It's well ahead of where I'd want to take Andrés Giménez. You know, Max Muncy, I guess you could make a case for him in a points league. But yeah, I think if you're looking for a difference maker at second base, I think Brandon Lau has more upside than Tommy Edman and Andrés Giménez and probably even Max Muncy. So I think it's defensible. I've certainly argued Brandon Lau is underrated or undervalued for most of the preseason.
Interestingly, it's the same guy who took Dustin May in round three. So we have a bit of a wild card.
Getting his guys.
Go out and get your guys. After Brandon Lau went, Jose Abreu, Starling Marte, Xander Bogaerts. Love the value on all those players. Kind of thought about Jose Abreu, but we know first base is... Wait, I've already got a first base, and what am I talking about? I got Vladimir Guerrero. And Chris, you mentioned might be a touch early for Jose Altuve. Well, not for Team Gensler. 71st overall. Scott, you're on the clock, and I hope you weren't planning to take Jose Altuve.
No, I was. It was somebody I had in mind for maybe my next pair of picks,
okay,
which would be closer to where I moved him in my rankings. Mm-hmm. But it's a shallow league, so I think it's a justifiable play to get a singularity at second base like that. I kind of wished somebody had taken one of these two pitchers because now I feel obligated to take both. It's just... I'd be looking a gift horse in the mouth if I didn't take these two as someone who hasn't taken a starting pitcher yet here in round six. Zach Gallen and Robbie Ray, among pitchers who are healthy, they're pretty clearly the last two who you can squint and see an ace pretty easily, I feel like.
Mm-hmm.
And so the fact that there was exactly two left for these pair of picks on a team where I've completely neglected starting pitching up to this point, I think it's just a must for me. So I'm going Zach Gallen and Robbie Ray. Robbie Ray this spring's been striking out everybody in sight.
Yeah,
so
I know.
I'm happy to get more of them.
I read an article that he's been working on a new pitch. I think it's a splitter.
And the whole Mariners staff is working on a splitter. It's crazy.
And his velocity apparently has been up. I was watching highlights. I believe he made a start on either Sunday or Monday, and he looked ridiculous. I mean, the tight pants were on. He was like screaming on every single pitch that he threw. I mean, half the time you don't know if Robbie Ray is playing in a tennis match or pitching baseballs, because the guy is like grunting and yelling and just classic Robbie Ray stuff there. Interesting. So the team that takes Jose Altuve also takes Bryce Harper. Worth mentioning that we have three IL spots in this league. Well, two of them are already occupied, looking to play, I guess, for June and July and beyond. I don't know that I would take both of them, Chris. You know, maybe one of them, but using your sixth and seventh round pick, it's a lot of draft capital on two injured guys.
It is. It's worth pointing out. I think Scott and I are about to make the same. We're about to make the same point. But the Phillies opted not to put Bryce Harper on the 60-day DL yet. They still could, but they are not going. They're not planning on doing so. And I was looking back at some of the reports back when he had the surgery. The report was he's planning on swinging a bat in late May, was the initial report. That was back in November, I think, when he had the surgery. Well, he started swinging a bat in late February, and he's going to be facing live pitching within the next week or so. And so,
yep.
Bryce Harper, yep. I think you're looking at like June is still likelier than May, but May's on the table.
May's on the table, and I was worried for most of the draft prep season to be maybe like August. They were saying second half, right? And this, you know, last week there was actually a report from John Heyman, and he didn't really cite anybody specific in the Phillies organization. He just said some are hoping he could be back by May. So I was, you know, I kind of brushed it off, whatever. But now there's this news of them delaying putting him on the 60-day DL. Dave Dombrowski saying we just want to keep our options open.
Yeah, they don't need a 40-man roster spot right now. So that's
I'm not going to take Harper this high, 74th overall, but I'm certainly much more open to taking him around pick 100 now in light of this news, especially in a shallower league like this where you can pick up replacements off the waiver wire potentially. You only have 9 hitter spots to fill. Like, this is the sort of league to take those chances. So the same guy taking Jose Altuve and Bryce Harper back-to-back here in rounds 6 and 7, well, it's maybe 2 rounds earlier than I would do it. I do think it's more or less the right idea. I get what he's thinking.
All right, mini relief pitcher run here. We've got Josh Hader and Ryan Presley off the board in the middle of round 7, followed by Chris Bryant, Salvador Perez, and Chris, you are back up.
And I'm going to take another guy I have not taken yet this spring, and I'm going to take the last third baseman left, and that's Gunnar Henderson, who doesn't have as much hype as Corbin Carroll. I think he, you know, the minor league numbers aren't quite as impressive, but you know, as we continue to see Corbin Carroll pushed up and up and up, and you know, this is not the first time I've seen Corbin Carroll go around 50 or even earlier than that. Gunnar Henderson doesn't have quite the same helium.
He's had a pretty bad showing this spring. I don't think the Orioles are considering sending Gunnar Henderson down or anything. Brandon Hyde, the manager, said he just feels like Henderson's having a typical rookie spring.
Yeah.
But, you know, while Corbin Carroll's putting up numbers, Henderson isn't.
I will point out, like, he's got a 723 OPS. You know, when you said that, I was like, oh, man, Gunnar Henderson must be in like the 500s. You know, but 723, that's not – he's walking a bunch. He's got some extra base hits.
It's largely walks, yeah.
Yeah, he's only got 5 hits on 27 at-bats. But, like, you know, he's striking out about 25% of the time. So it doesn't necessarily suggest – no, I'm not saying
especially meaningful. It's not especially meaningful. I'll grant that. But that explains, I think, the disparate helium between Carroll.
I was a little surprised. Like, I did expect worse once you said that. So
yeah.
I think it's okay.
Gosh, Chris, you just crushed me with that Gunnar Henderson pick, man. Because I was scrolling around. I'm like, what positions do I need? I need second and third base. So my plan was to go Gunnar Henderson and then Max Muncy. You ruined that plan. So
yeah, sorry. That's why you don't make plans.
Yeah, yeah. I get it.
Then you did follow up with Muncy.
Yeah, right? It's a bit of a reach. I mean, 80th overall. I think I have him just outside the top 100. He is much better in a points league.
His ADP in CBS leagues is 74, which are primarily points leagues.
I don't have a second baseman or a third baseman, so Max Muncy will fill one of those roles for me. And I'm all right taking him there. We'll see what happens with the next couple of picks here. I still only have one outfielder. But Gunnar Henderson and Max Muncy, those were the two that I had in mind. You know, when I made the Will Smith pick, Will Smith, the catcher.
I know what you're going to say.
You know, I didn't really want to do it because I knew that some good catchers would fall. And Adley Rutschman being here.
I wonder which one you mean.
I was just.
I mean, now that we're talking about him, somebody's going to snatch him up right away, I'm sure. But it is a little bit crazy that he is there have been five catchers taken and none of them is Adley Rutschman. He's my number two catcher in this format. His plate discipline's so good.
I almost took him over Will Smith, Scott.
I haven't ranked over Will Smith. He had a zillion doubles last year. So even if he doesn't take that next step forward with the home run power, he should be great in this format with all the doubles. But he has four home runs this spring. Just hit a big one off Chris Sale today.
Sure did. Yep.
On Wednesday.
In fairness, I hit a home run off Chris Sale today.
He did give up a couple shots today, though. Both he and Alex Cora did not seem the least bit concerned after the game. For what it's worth.
All right, well, let's catch people up on some picks. And after I took Muncy, Carlos Rodon, another name that I was thinking about. I think that this is a good range to get him. Some good news coming out. He threw, I believe it was a bullpen the other day, and it sounds like he's doing fine in terms of, you know, just recovering from that bullpen so far. So maybe it's a couple of starts and we get Carlos Rodon back in by the end of April. I think this is a good spot to get him. Dalton Varsho, Logan Webb, Teoscar Hernandez, and boom, goes the dynamo.
There you go.
Yeah. Adley Rutschman goes off the board. Let's take our second break here. And when we return, we'll catch you up on the latest picks.
The hit Paramount Plus original docuseries returns.
The last time I saw Max, he looked at us laughing, and then everything changed in a blink of an eye.
My feeling as a detective is that he was murdered.
Yahoo Entertainment calls it a spine-chilling docuseries showcasing real-life tragedies.
What if it was your child who went missing?
We need to know the truth.
Never seen again. Now streaming on Paramount Plus.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back into Fantasy Baseball Today. Thank you to those watching us live on YouTube. Make sure to like, leave a comment, and subscribe if you haven't already. Stephen Kwan, the second pick of round 8, and we know Kwan barely strikes out, and he was really good in the second half last year in terms of getting on base, and I think he's fine in either format, offers some batting average and, you know, 20-ish steals in Roto, but he's probably even a little bit better in head-to-head points league, so I think that's not overly surprising.
I kind of like the team that Church of Scott White is putting together. It's a bit of a misnomer because he's got four starting pitchers through eight picks.
Maybe he's 2021 Scott White. I don't know.
Yeah. But like, I loved the value on Logan Webb there. I was going to take him if not. He was sneaky, really good in this format last year. He's got Freddie Freeman, Austin Riley, Luis Robert, and Stephen Kwan. So very good start to the offense, but obviously a lot of picks left. But Zach Wheeler, Yu Darvish, Luis Castillo, Logan Webb. That's a very good pitching staff for this. Scoring format, especially.
Okay, after Stephen Kwan, Jake Cronenworth, who is sneaky good in head-to-head points leagues, and he has some versatility. He has second base and first base eligibility. And then after him, O'Neill Cruz goes at pick 88. He does fall a little bit in this format because of the strikeouts. And
I was just getting ready to queue him up, though.
Got myself Got myself a little bit of a decision here.
I'm preparing to be very mad at Frank because I feel like he's going to take the...
Is that how you want it?
Yes.
I got you back.
That was the last guy in my queue from my previous pick, and I wasn't sure if I should take Gunnar Henderson or Joe Musgrove. I don't think Gunnar Henderson would have made it back to me. Now I know Joe Musgrove wouldn't have. I'm very upset with you. That was very rude of you to do.
You want to make a trade, Chris? Because technically, if you didn't take Gunnar, I would have taken him, and then I would have taken Muncy, and Joe Musgrove might have made it back to you.
Well, I was going to take, I was either Musgrove or Henderson there. So,
yeah. All right. Yeah. Well, I get Musgrove. Look, hopefully the toe is fine because I keep drafting a bunch of Joe Musgrove. Mm-hmm. I took him in a recent NFBC draft. I got him in Tout Wars. Sounds like he's only going to miss one turn in the rotation. You know, maybe it's two. I haven't seen an update on him recently. So hopefully everything is progressing there. I don't know if we need to pause the draft or anything, Chris.
No, I'm fine. I was just like, Musgrove was my clear best player remaining, and I said I was preparing. Yes, I said I was preparing for Scott to take the guy I wanted, but I wasn't actually prepared for it. And so
Frank anyway. So.
Yeah, Frank. Sorry,
I didn't do anything to you.
Yeah, in spirit, you did.
Let the record show.
Not yet. You haven't done anything yet, Scott. So through eight rounds, I've got Will Smith at catcher, Vladimir Guerrero Jr., Max Muncy at second or third base, Trey Turner at shortstop, George Springer is my lone outfielder, and at starting pitcher, I've got Max Scherzer, Kevin Gausman, and Joe Musgrove. Let's see what else is going on. Oh. Chris took Tristan McKenzie, then Rhys Hoskins, who typically is a little bit better in this format. Lots of walks, really good OBP. Brandon Nimmo goes 92nd overall. He's battling like ankle and knee sprains right now. We'll see if he's ready.
But he was the number nine outfielder in this format last year, amazingly. I think that speaks more to the state of the outfield in 2022 than Nimmo specifically, the fact Nimmo stayed healthy. But, you know, he gets extra base hits. He gets on base at a nice rate.
Can we... I'm going to just throw out a conversation point about a sleeper that I want to take in the later rounds, and I may screw myself over in that. But a bit of news from today that I think actually really could matter. Carson Kelly fractured his forearm.
Oh.
I don't know if you saw that. He got hit by a pitch yesterday. He's going to miss probably a couple of months. Gabriel Moreno, we thought he was probably going to be the small side of the catcher platoon in Arizona. He's about to play a ton early on in the season. I'm just going to go ahead and this is kind of what we talk about in season more, where like any catcher who has a pulse pretty much jumps into the top 12. I'm moving Gabriel Moreno into my top 12 at catcher as a result of this news. Maybe that's an overreaction, but I'm going to overreact.
That is interesting because I saw that Carson Kelly left after getting hit by a pitch on his forearm yesterday. So, yeah, it turns out he's going to miss some time.
No!
Scott is tilting.
I was holding my breath ever since Gunnar Henderson and Max Muncy went back to back to take Jordan Walker here. And I thought it was going to happen. I don't even know what I'm going to do now.
He's picked. Well, I will let you figure that out, Scott. Let's catch people up on the picks. After Brandon Nimmo, Sean Murphy, Logan Gilbert, Jordan Walker, 95th overall at the end of the eighth round. I'm eyeballing my catcher rankings to see if I agree with you, Chris. I think I can get Gabriel Moreno up to 13 ahead of Danny Jansen, ahead of Grandal.
Yeah, Cal Raleigh is the toughest one. He's 12 for me. I'm moving Moreno up above Cal Raleigh out of principle for now. And then, you know, we'll see in the harsh light of day tomorrow whether I actually agree with that decision. But Gabriel Moreno, obviously he's a top 10 prospect last season, was traded in the Dalton Varsho deal. If you don't remember.
Yeah.
Very, very similar profile to someone like Alejandro Kirk. The problem is it's a very similar profile to Alejandro Kirk or Keibert Ruiz. And it's like, which path is he going to go down? He didn't necessarily, impress a ton last season while losing rookie eligibility, but it was only like he lost rookie eligibility, but not because of games played or plate appearances. It was time served on the roster. So he only got like 80 plate appearances last year.
And Gabriel Moreno so far this spring is 8-for-20 with 2 home runs. The biggest question mark is, can he raise the launch angle? Can he hit for power? And I think he's purposely trying to, you know, quiet some of the doubters here in spring training by lifting the ball a little bit and popping some home runs. So, yeah, that is a really interesting note on Gabriel Moreno. At the turn, Scotty, you jump into the starting pitcher pool. You get one of your favorites in Chris Sale. But the next pick, that was kind of interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, there was nobody. So I took George Kirby. There was nobody obvious, I thought, to take. So it was a chance to luxuriate a little bit. And I decided, well, I don't have any shares of George Kirby yet. It was a popular breakout pick. I don't share the enthusiasm for him, but it's nice to, when you don't feel like you're having to reach for it, when you do have a chance to kind of go off script a little bit, it's nice to get in on the hype. And if all those very smart people who are predicting big things for George Kirby are right, then at least in this league, I'll be able to benefit from it. I considered going Devin Williams instead because, you know, we've just attacked relief pitchers so little here that in round 9, the third ranked one, according to my own rankings, leaving out Strider, of course, is still there. But I decided that I didn't want to. I don't love investing in a relief pitcher in this format, and I'm going to stick to it.
All right. After you took George Kirby, Nick Lodolo, who threw 6 shutout innings on Monday with 8 strikeouts. He looked fantastic. He was going up against an Angels lineup that was missing both Mike Trout and Shohei Ohtani, obviously. And then after Nick Lodolo, Christian Yelich, Willy Adames, Carlos Correa, Devin Williams, and Chris, you took Hunter Green. And we talked about him recently. Was it in breakouts? You said he could be both a breakout and a bust, and I actually wound up writing him up in bust 2.0. I get the upside. I get the hype with Hunter Green. He's super fun to watch, but 48% fly ball rate in Great American Ballpark, it just scares the crap out of me, man.
Oh, yeah. No, it's I think I did end up, I'm trying to remember, I might have ended up taking him out of bust 2.0. He is still in breakouts 2.0. And I think that highlights just he's an incredibly high variance player. What we saw, I mean, remember when he came back from the IL last season, he looked like the best pitcher in baseball. It was 5 starts, 20 something innings, but he had like, I think it was 38 strikeouts in 26 innings or something absurd like that. His swing strike rate was through the roof. The fastball is not a good pitch right now. It gets a ton of whiffs. It is the hardest fastball, I'm going to say, ever. Maybe some old person will yell at me about Nolan Ryan. Either way, there has never been a recorded starting pitcher who throws as hard as often as Hunter Green. The problem is he gave up a lot of home runs with the pitch. It was, I think, the third highest expected slugging percentage on a 4-seam fastball of any pitcher, any starter in baseball last season. And he's given up 3 home runs so far in, or 2 home runs so far in spring training. So still a little bit of an issue. He's working on a changeup. There's so much upside. The slider is an amazing pitch. It's one of the best swing and miss pitches in baseball. It's, this is kind of my FOMO team where I'm, I don't think I've drafted Tristan McKenzie this year. I haven't really drafted Hunter Green. I haven't really drafted Gunnar Henderson or Matt Olson. So this is going to be a team that stands on its own a little bit among the teams I've drafted.
And I totally get why you're doing it, Chris. And I've done drafts like this in years past, and I find that every time I do something like it, it doesn't work out. Now, I'm not trying to say that your team isn't going to
good. No, it's going away from
my
valuations to a certain extent. So, yeah, there's risk in it.
With Hunter Green, I actually just wrote him up in Bust 2.0, so I have him. I have all these things fresh in my mind. You're right that over his final 6 starts, he was fantastic. A 1.02 ERA. The teams that he faced: Marlins twice, Cardinals, Brewers, Pirates, Cubs. So some really good matchups. I mean, it was still a 102 ERA. So I get it, but
a little 2020 Zach Plesac mirror there.
I just kind of thought about this while you were talking about Hunter Green. He's kind of the pitcher version of O'Neill Cruz, no? Like, he's a huge wild card. He has massive upside, but he also has really big downside, too. So,
Kind of. 100%. Yeah. I mean, remember, there were a lot of points last season where we're like, oh, this is it. Hunter Green's figuring it out. And, like, he was probably written up in the waiver wire column like 6 or 7 times last season because it was just like he would have a really good start and then he would come back and give up 4 home runs. You know, that's just like the kind of skill set he has right now.
After Chris took Hunter Green, I come on this podcast a lot and I tell you that the disrespect for Adolis Garcia has gone too far. Well, guess what? I had to end that disrespect once again because I just took him at pick 104. I debated taking him back in round 6 when I took Will Smith and he was here 3 rounds later. This is not his preferred format. He does not walk very much. He strikes out quite a bit, but last year he still averaged around 3 fantasy points per game. I'll take that in round 9.
Yeah, last year, even in this format, not being his best format, he was the number 7 outfielder. Now, again, I think that is partly just the state of the outfield and the number of players who missed time there. And it was just an especially bad year for outfield. And I've talked about how I think Adolis Garcia is going to take a step back this year. But just from a pure value perspective, if I had gone hitter with that George Kirby pick instead of pitcher, I probably would have gone with Adolis Garcia as my 3rd outfielder. In fact, I think the main reason I didn't is because it's only a 3 outfielder league and I have those 2 outfield spots filled already. And I just wanted to leave one there for some of my late round targets that I like.
After I took Adolis Garcia, we see the old relief pitcher run. Jordan Romano, Ryan Helsley, Andrés Giménez and Raisel Iglesias to finish out round 9. And then Lance Lynn, my heart breaks for the first pick of round 10. And then Tim Anderson and Chris Bassitt. I've got one more pick coming up here. Blake Snell, another pitcher that I like, but I've already got 3 starters. I've got Scherzer. I've got Gausman. I've got Joe Musgrove. So I don't really feel the need to take another pitcher here. And no, I'm just going to go ahead and build the best roto lineup ever in a head-to-head points league and see how it turns out because this is another player where I just feel like he's lasted too long in this format. And it's Tommy Edman, who I will now slide over to second base, and I've got Max Muncy at 3rd. So, yeah, again, it's not his better format, but I'm just going to keep gobbling up the value. And Chris, I love your next pick because you had to do it for the brand. Giancarlo Stanton in the middle of round 10.
Yeah, actually someone I haven't really drafted this year at all. I don't think I've drafted Giancarlo Stanton once so far. So
fraud.
I'm going to end that. And, you know, I've said it before on the podcast. I feel like given the fact that he still hits the ball just about as hard as anyone, we can no longer say Giancarlo Stanton hits the ball harder than anyone because O'Neill Cruz exists. But because he still is a 1 of 3 in terms of how hard he hits the ball, I still think there's a chance we get like one last like 45 to 50 home run season from Giancarlo Stanton. He still has the skill set for it. So yeah, let's stick with the FOMO theme here.
All right. Well, after Chris took Giancarlo Stanton, there was a very interesting pick. What we'll do is we'll wrap up part 1 here of the podcast and we'll pick things up part 2 of the podcast. So we will see you over there. Make sure to tune in.
New CBS Monday. NCIS is back.
We need all hands on deck.
So grab your gear.
NCIS!
And join our elite team.
What are the charges?
Murder.
New cases to be solved.
Double tap to the chest.
Same caliber as the murder weapon.
And new criminals to catch.
That's the bomb maker. Where's the bomb?
A new NCIS, Monday, 9/8 Central, on CBS and streaming on Paramount+.